Connecting the Pieces.
Hello, my name is Jay Johnson. According to some academics, the world is in the third stage of globalization. In a lecture presented at Auburn University, the first stage of globalization was the discovery and subsequent colonization of foreign lands, mostly by Europeans in the 1400s and continuing forward. The second stage occurred somewhere after the invention of the steam engine and the railroads. The third stage began after the marriage of cheap computers and public internet, somewhere in the mid-1990s. Now, with this in mind, as globalization has progressed, a similar trend has been occurring simultaneously in the political business world, as people slowly change from recognizing and fighting for local principalities to the rise of the nation-state and now to supranational state, be the creation of monetary unions like the EU or military blocs such as NATO. The net effect is that borders have been destroyed and once distinct cultures have merged or are merging. Everything, everywhere is slowly becoming homogenized and standardized. Want to watch the new Avengers movie? Well, it's coming to a movie theater near you soon, in a language you speak. Thirsty? Have a Coke. It's sold in the same standardized units worldwide. Need some military training or weapons? Well, America can provide the best trainers or weapons money can buy. Now, in his book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, John Perkins pulls back the curtain to reveal how exactly the globalization machinery works. The people working behind the scenes do so mostly in secret and work for companies with boring names with lots of acronyms. In an interview with monthlyreview.org, John Perkins went on to say, they inhibit a stateless global archipelago of privilege, a collection of private schools, tax havens, and gated residential communities with little or no connection to the outside world. They are people to whom nations are as meaningless as they are to the global corporations and to the international aristocracy they serve. He went on to say, the system of contemporary capitalist globalization operates for the exclusive benefit of a global plutocracy that has no national boundaries or loyalties. Oligarchy, an interesting word that in Western media is usually used as a propaganda technique to distinguish the us versus them paradigm, has been applied exclusively to the modern-day capitalist barons of Russia, and no less real in the triad of the United States, Japan, and Europe. In fact, the Washington Times headline cited a Princeton University study when it said, America is an oligarchy, not a democracy or even a republic. That article went on to note, the U.S. government now represents the rich and powerful, not the average citizen. An interesting thing in that study noted that when a majority of citizens disagrees with economic elites and their organized interests, they generally lose. So here's where the TTIP and the TTP come in. TTIP, which stands for Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, or TTP, which stands for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, are regional trade investment treaties, which doesn't sound too bad, right? Trade and business are, in theory, enough to bring countries together, thus preventing war. As a quick reminder, here are all of the countries involved so far. TTIP covers mostly the EU, which, however, looking at it another way, Wikipedia notes that the United States and the European Union together represent 60% of global GDP, 33% of world trade in goods, and 42% of world trade in services. A free trade between the two would represent potentially the largest regional free trade agreement in the history of the world, covering 46% of world GDP. The Trans-Pacific Partnership covers mostly the Pacific Rim countries. The Washington Post notes here that Pacific Rim countries are responsible for 40% of the world's GDP and 26% of the world's trade. Putting this all together, we can clearly see that by passing these treaties, America becomes the center of the world, so to speak. So, what's wrong with that, some might say? Well, a recent sorting in the New York Times noted that the treaties are a blatant attack on labor, farmers, food safety, public health, and even national sovereignty. But how can that be? We're only talking about treaties, right? Well, Senator Charles Schumer of New York, the Senate's number 3 Democrat, went on to say, this is really troubling. It seems to indicate that savvy, deep-pocketed foreign conglomerates could challenge a broad range of laws with we pass at every level of government, such as Made in America laws or anti-tobacco laws. The New York Times continued by saying the public has no access to its contents of the treaty, and even members of Congress don't know much. On the other hand, cleared advisors, mostly corporate lawyers, have full access. You see, that's just how they roll, doing business in the dead of the night, behind closed doors. As further proof of the secrecy surrounding this deal, the United States Senator Ron Wyden wrote, the majority of Congress is being kept in the dark as the substance of the TPP negotiations, while representatives of U.S. corporations like Halliburton, Chevron, Pharma, Comcast, and the Motion Picture Association of America are being consulted and made privy to the details of the agreement. More than 2 months after receiving the proper security credentials, my staff is still barred from viewing the details of the proposal that is being advanced. And we hear that the process by which TPP is being negotiated has been a model of transparency. Well, I disagree with that statement. Even a U.S. senator isn't allowed to read some of the so-called finer print. We do know a little bit, though. For instance, on March 26, 2015, WikiLeaks released the TPP's investment chapter, which noted the accord would grant the power to global corporations to sue governments in tribunals organized by the World Bank or the United Nations to obtain taxpayer compensation for loss of expected future profits due to government actions. Basically, corporations will be able to force anyone opposing them to do whatever they want in a backroom deal, and you'll never know about it. The New York Times summed this up by writing, "The TPP is little more than enhanced corporation power branded as free trade. It gives corporations the right to challenge government regulations and seek compensation if they think they've been treated unfairly by any of the countries involved." The New York Times went on to note the agreement would even allow countries to challenge one another's laws, so that equivalency may simply mean the least powerful regulations become the norm. The United States would have no special standing. If our laws are seen as restraining trade or limiting profits, they could be challenged in special courts, per the TPP's investor state clause. As an example, Philip Morris is suing Uruguay over that country's anti-smoking laws, making matters even more complicated. A bill was recently introduced that would give the U.S. President Barack Obama fast-track authority regarding the TPP. If it passes, Congress could only vote up or down on the deal, not amend it. And that means that it can't be changed, only agreed upon or not. Which probably means that corporate lobbyists are working overtime right now in an attempt to line up the vote. So, if it was such a good deal for the people, dear listeners, why all the secrecy? Why all the need to rush it through Congress without an open debate? Well, quote George Orwell's 1984, "There will be no curiosity, no enjoyment of the process of life. All competing pleasures will be destroyed. But always, do not forget this, Winston, always there will be the intoxication of power, constantly increasing and constantly growing subtler. Always at every moment, there will be the thrill of victory, the sensation of a trampling on an enemy who is helpless. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever." And that, dear listeners, is the future if these treaties are passed. Think of it like this. The entire world will literally change forever by the stroke of a pen if Obama signs the trade treaties. Corporations will win, and the little guy will lose. With all of these treaties, the world is moving towards the final stage of globalization, away from democracy or people power to corporatocracy, or the rule of corporations. So what do you think, dear listeners? Do the TIPP and TPP treaties signal the rise of the one world government?